Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night. It's Friday morning right now. It's about 11 a.m. here in New York City, and it's it's sunny out, but not Cher, and I think it's going to be like about 80-ish degrees or something. It's going to be a nice, balmy summer day. People with their umbrellas. People are learning to use umbrellas to block the sun. That's very smart. Anyway, we're here, and we're going to talk about pet food. Well, specifically, we're going to talk about a brand of pet food called Petrosia. And it's a company that makes the pet food, but they make it to your, like you have to tell them your cat or your dog, what the age, the size, things like that. And that's how they formulate the dry food that you go online for, and they send it to you. So we're going to talk about all this. And is from Keith, some big shot from this company, who I'm going to, let's see if this works. Last time I did dialing, it's a person's phone. Let's see. I'm dialing now. Let's see. Ringy dingies.
Keith Johnson.
Keith, hi, it's Merle Exit calling.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, you're on the air.
No.
you're not surprised, are you?
Oh, then I'm on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, my guy told me it was a newspaper interview.
well, it is.
It's funny.
It will be.
Okay. So how are you doing today?
Oh, just fine. Where are you? By the way, you're in what state?
Right now or in general? Yeah. I'm in Rochester, New York, visiting family for the weekend.
Oh, you're on our time. Okay, you're just upstate.
Yeah.
From New York City.
But,
okay.
Right, but I mean, we live the offices for Petrosia are in Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. Cincinnati. Oh, I've been there. Yeah. Well, we did a press trip, but we didn't go to see you. It wasn't on the list.
No.
But anyway, so what I want to talk about, firstly, because now, with the way pet food is now, I mean, you have dry food, you have soft food, you have wet food, and you have treats and all that. So, and I want to kind of talk about, like, I know that your company only makes dry food. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
We only make dry food today. We will add other forms in the future.
How long has your company been around?
The company's been around since July of 2012. We started to ship product into the market in April of 2013.
Oh, okay. When you say ship into the market, you mean you can buy it at the store? No.
We are a direct-to-consumer brand. So pet parents come to petbrochure.com, and they are able to order our product through there, and we ship it directly to their home, making it very
okay,
simple.
Okay, so the other way, and people have to put in a profile about each of the animals.
That's correct. We are a total custom dog and cat food. So a pet parent who's interested in Pet Brochure will come to our website, and they tell us a little bit about their pet, the breed, the age, the weight, the body condition, and some other information, and we create a profile. And with that profile, we figure out what is the ideal nutritional targets for their specific, and we're able then to provide a blend that's meeting those that specific target and ship it directly to the pet parent's house. And as that, as the pet ages or their body condition changes or something else changes that would affect their profile, we will update the blend for them. And so we're really able to grow with the pet.
Now, what I first want to ask you is, in terms of, I don't know, whether quality, nutrition, or whatever, what is the difference between a cat having dry food and, you know, all that? What's the, is there any advantage or disadvantage of it being, you know, dry, wet, soft?
In general, the number one thing is the preference for the dog or cat. In terms of the, it's really important to have a quality product, and no matter what the form, you really have to look at the quality of the ingredients, read the back of the package, and do some research to understand that you're getting a quality product. And that's the most important versus the form of the product, whether it being dry or wet. There are some very, very premium, high-quality products in all those forms. There's also products that aren't so high quality, that are lower quality in all those forms. So it's really not good to state a direct connection between the form and the quality of the product. Versus really understanding what is the quality of that specific product.
Well, for instance, is there, in terms of just like for the teeth, should you make sure that you're, I don't have a dog, I have a cat.
Yeah.
I have two cats. Should you make sure that your cats are having some dry food anyway because just for their teeth, the purpose of...
My point was in general. I believe that, personally, a dry diet is a strong diet because you can get a very high quality, higher protein product. It provides a lot of benefits. It's more flexible with the eating schedule of the dog or cat. A dry kibble does allow teeth benefits, dental benefits, over some of wet products just by the crunchy nature of the kibble and the cleaning capabilities of it.
Okay. Now, I'm curious if you could possibly tell, how is dry food made? I mean, how is it made?
How is it made?
I'm always curious. How do you make dry food? What is, yeah.
Frankly, the process is pretty much the same as most other processed human foods. Frankly, it's not that much different in terms of the overall process. You have ingredients going in to mixers and extruders, and it's processed, it's cooked, and it's and dried and packaged. You know, and that's the same type of process that you would see in in other manufactured products for humans that are packaged.
Okay. I can't, in my head, I can't imagine, in other words, that it's, that I can, that I can eat, I don't say something similar in terms of texture of some food that could be that dry. Did you understand what I mean?
I think most human foods that are processed, frankly, they add more fat in it to leave more of a moisture feel. Hate to say that, but and the one thing is before you actually dry a kibble, it is actually moist. It has more of a consistency of a brownie.
That's a good point. Okay.
It's when it's dry that it becomes harder.
Okay, so in other words, it's something like if you have stale bread, because the moisture comes out, or a stale brownie, just because the moisture has left it.
Right.
Okay, so you can
so
think
some
of
dogs
it.
Some dogs actually do prefer it a little bit more moist, and so one of the things we recommend is putting a quarter cup of warm water if a dog or cat likes it moist. Letting it sit for a couple minutes. There's many dogs and cats.
I'll try that.
That like that. Mickey, my one, not Mickey, but Rosie. Rosie prefers it a little moist. And so we actually, she eats Pepperosia, and we put about a half cup of warm water into her Pepperosia to make it moist for her. She just likes it that way.
Well, that's interesting. I'm just curious. When you use warm water, I don't know, for some reason my brain says, you know, like unless you're cooking it up, you never take warm water from the tap. I don't know why. I mean, can you do that, or is it do you heat up cold water?
I don't know why you would need to.
Oh, okay.
I drink warm water out of the tap, too.
Out of the tap? Okay. I don't know. I just have that.
I mean, you do, right? I mean, I do.
No, I never do. That's why. I never seem to do that. Like, if I'm going to cook something, I always seem to be ingrained on you use cold water. I guess it's like, okay. I guess.
I don't know. If I'm drinking, you know, a lot, I use, maybe I'm. If I can get hot enough water out of the tap, I'll make like instant coffee out of the tap if I can get
it. Oh, really? Now I have to look online. I don't know. I guess for some reason, in terms of maybe cooking, that it just says that, you know, that you should start with cold water. And I probably saw that like many years ago and, you know, said, oh, no, better use cold water. I don't know, for some reason I thought it was in terms of the
more
pipes
things.
Or something. I have no idea. But you're probably right that there's no harm. The same pipe.
I don't know. Yeah, I really don't know why you would be able to use cold water out of a tap and not hot water.
Yeah, well, you're right. Okay. Because I had found, and this was interesting because I wanted to see what would happen, what I found with one of my cats. By the way, I only had to give you one profile of one cat because they are identical twins. It's
oh, wow.
It's so weird watching them to see identical twins, especially when, like, I go into the kitchen and one of them is down in the basement and the other one goes up to the top of the stairs. Doesn't say anything, just stands at the top of the stairs looking down, and the other one comes up. Just they mentally talk to each other to say, food's coming, without going like meow or anything. Now, that's a little weird, you know, mental telepathy with them. But anyway, what I had found for a while was that one of the cats wouldn't chew dry food.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would wind up regurgitating the dry food, and I
mm-hmm.
would see that's not true. And I'd being concerned, now I noticed that he will crunch it, this particular brand. So I was very happy about that. Now, I also read to the effect that you should, like, wean them into it, you know, because in terms of the digestive system. Why, I didn't read
well,
that part.
Well, I mean, many, you know, how diets
yeah.
are for most dogs and cats, unlike humans, is that they're pretty much eating one food all the time.
Right.
And so when you make a switch in their, so their bodies are used to that. So if you make a switch to a new food, you need to do that. You need to introduce it into the diet. And so you typically will do that over the period, so let's say 10 days. Now, many dogs or cats have pet parents tell us that there's not a problem at all. They'll eat it fine. So, you know, they can do that if they like, but we recommend that you transition it over time. So there's two things. There's just, will they accept it? Because it is going to be a different taste, a different palatability. And then two, how does it react with their, say, hey, this is different, and have a negative reaction. Now, most people, frankly, immediately change over from one to the other. We don't hear of that many problems, but we recommend transitioning over time, just in case.
Okay. Well, I noticed that neither of them had a problem with it at all. They basically just put the food in front of me and I'll eat it. And it was after a while that I said, I don't want them. I was basically like, I would never get, definitely they never got 9 lives. I don't know what it was in my brain said, don't get that. And I was feeding them Friskies because they were coming out with brands of like, one of them was this with egg, one of them was a plus, and one of them was an indoor cat. So I said, uh-huh. Let me, you know, do this. I thought, at least I said it's a better thing. But it was pretty much lately that I said, you know, I want to start switching to brands that are healthier. You know, so I was looking into things like Halo and wellness, you know, stuff like that. And mm-hmm. actually what's most interesting is in terms of wellness, it's like, you know, I had the can near my nose. I went, oh, it doesn't have that smell. It's that ash smell that I always get from canned, that, you know, when the not as good canned food. I went, this smells like food, you know, like, I got to make sure that, you know, everything that I give them is food. So,
an interesting perception because, you know, a lot of the items that, or the ingredients that go into dog or cat food aren't necessarily, they don't have to be different than what we would have in our own diets. It's the makeup of them that really is important. So, and for example, in Pepperosia, we have real chicken, free-run chicken is the first ingredient. And, you know, we do not include corn, wheat, soy, or byproduct meals. But we do have a lot of the healthy grains, or we do have wild brown rice in our chicken formula, and when we have a grain-free formula for our salmon, and we use good carbohydrate sources like sweet potato, peas, that type of thing, and of course fruits and fruits such as blueberries and cranberries. That have
oh really?
Yeah, they have strong characteristics in terms of immunity and health, healthy digestion, and strong defenses.
Is there a particular reason, like, for instance, I noticed, like, in terms of cat food, at least I don't think so, I've never seen, like, with pork. I've seen, you know, is there a particular reason why pork is never used in pet food?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. When I asked that question, I mean, there's two answers to that. In general, when you think about processing foods, it's in general a little. You have to make sure you have a very careful production system for pork. And I think over time that's been one of the reasons you see it less. And then I just think that pork is not considered a protein source that is common in human consumption in the U.S. is other forms. But you also go back to nature, and you'd expect in nature feral dogs and cats would be wouldn't naturally be coming across.
Oh,
pork.
That's true. They wouldn't come across a pig and eat it, or right. This is true because I've seen like cat foods that with venison, with duck, you know, things like that. And so that's why I was wondering if, like, you know, and is there any particular things that they should or shouldn't have, you think? I mean, sometimes they say, like, male cats shouldn't eat too much fish.
I am not familiar with that one. I am not familiar
with
that one. I haven't heard that one. In terms of normal ingredients, I'm not sure of any off the top of my head. I think that you have to make sure you're doing things in moderation. You know, avoid that can create foods that can create problems are things like chocolate, right? You want to avoid. Feeding chocolate. One of the things I look at with Peprosia in our diets is the balance of nutrients, the amount of fats and carbohydrates and proteins and fiber in the diet, and being very cognizant of what is the caloric density for that specific dog or cat, to make sure you're giving them what they need for their specific body condition and their lifestyle. And I think that it is possible in many of the foods to have a too high of a carbohydrate profile, or are too much proteins that are not coming from animal proteins or animal sources. And so I think it's very important to be cognizant of the ingredients to make sure that it is providing the right level that you want for your dog or cat.
And do you make the food with beef, or is it just chicken and salmon?
Right now, Peprosia makes chicken and salmon varieties.
Okay.
We do not do beef. I do not see beef as a strong demand for in the U.S. or, frankly, in any other area. I think that most people are looking for chicken or salmon.
Now, when you're coming up with a, you know, like I'm giving you a profile, how does it look like? Like, for instance, when, let's say the age, do you put like less of this or more of this, or, you know, their breed? How does the breed even make a difference?
Sure. So in general, if you think about age, for example, this is similar to what you'd expect in humans, right? So if you have a baby, babies typically will have, you need to feed them a higher fat diet for healthy brain development and because of their stores of energy, because of how they're growing. Whereas if you're a senior person, needs less, they can't have as much fat in their diet, right? They need to be burning, they're not burning as much, they need to stay lean. So you typically will go to lower fat diets as we age, as humans age. And the same principle holds true for dogs and cats. Puppies and kittens will typically have higher fat diets. They're burning energy. They need those. They need the higher fat levels, and senior pets have less of that.
Okay.
Need less of that. So what? So Pebrosia will do. What with Pebrosia will actually change the blend to move through that that range as the dog or cat ages.
And how does it make a difference, like, in terms of the breed of cat? Especially, let's say, you know, you could look at cats and go, I have no idea what they are, unless they're, you know, full breed.
Well, the biggest difference with breeds comes from dogs, is in dogs, frankly. So dogs, and for dogs, you have breeds that are small, like Chihuahuas, then you have large Great Danes. And as the digestive tract of a smaller dog is much shorter than that of a larger dog, plus you have different needs in terms of how much, how they utilize energy, how their body grows, et cetera. And for a larger dog to have too much fat in their diet, it's going to end up being stored more than it would on a smaller dog. And so you naturally will see that a smaller breed is able to go to a more caloric, dense diet than a larger breed. And so by telling us, with Pebrosia, because you tell us the breed, we're able to figure that out. Another area is that by telling us the breed, we know what is the range of weight that is normal for that breed. And so we can use that information along with the actual weight of the individual dog or cat to figure out if they're under or overweight and to adjust the diet and blend accordingly.
And of course, I'm making an assumption that there's quite a difference between the fact that cats are in the house and not as, they don't get walked or they don't get run, you know, versus
that's
the
right.
dog. That
we do try to get information on what is the activity level of the dog or cat. And
right.
with that, we're able to figure out how the diet needs to be adjusted.
So, should I have like said to you guys, "Oh, well, my cats tend to run around the house up and down the stairs, chasing each other and playing with each other," as opposed to they just sit.
Yeah, so if you go to Pebrosia.com, we have an activity indicator where you can basically tell us where they fall. And then it affects the diet. But it's really important, though, that you understand that. And a lot of people don't take into account activity level in what they're feeding their pet, and with the level of obesity that's occurring with pets, following human trends, I think knowledge is power, so that people can provide, feed their pets their ideal body condition, and their body and their pets can have a potentially longer, higher quality of life.
One of the things I, like I've had a number of cats, you know, over the years, and these particular two I got when, like, you know, kind of newborn. And one of the things I decided is there's no I'm leaving food. Not they're not getting a whole bowl of food, and they eat it, you know, whenever they want, because I wouldn't know. First of all, I don't know how much one is eating more than the other, you know, et cetera. So I've always given them, here's what you're getting, here's your meal, and I'm going to feed you three times a day. And that's what's going to happen. And it's not going to be a total bowl full of things. Because mm-hmm. I thought to myself, even like when you're looking at the food, like especially like with, like it's easier, let's say with canned food, because you're looking at canned food, you say, well, how many ounces are in the can? And if I feed them blah, 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 I mean, we can, you know, we don't even think about how many pounds of food per day we're eating as we're eating. You know what I mean? It's, mm-hmm. You know, we just go and eat. And I think to myself, well, they should be eating like a pound of food. They shouldn't be eating, they should, you know, have a certain amount of ounces of food per day as a pound. You just let them eat.
Right.
Would you agree on that?
I definitely, part of what we do with Petbrosia is we provide the pet parent with what the amount of calories they should be eating in a day and how that translates into volume or cups for their specific blend of food. You know, so we get very specific on that because it is very important to control that. They can't, you know, pets aren't going to be as self-regulating as humans have the potential of being. I was going to say are, but have the potential of being. So yes, it's very important. Now, in terms of do you feed them, if you feed them once a day or three times a day, I don't have a specific point of view on that. I think that as long as you're maintaining the amount that they should be eating in a day,
right. You
can have some freedom there. What you had told me is that you do have them, you do feed them within a certain time frame, and you keep track of who is eating versus leaving it out for multiple cats to munch on throughout the day. So I really like that. I do that. We do that with Mickey and Rosie in our household. You know, we give Mickey and Rosie, we feed them at the same time every evening, and Rosie goes first, Mickey goes second, and they get used to that.
Yeah, and
it's normal for them, right? Mickey will wait off, we'll go and hold off and let Rosie eat first, and then he will come and eat. And it's a way for us to make sure that they're eating the proper amounts and their own blends, frankly. So I like what I'm hearing in the practices that you do, especially because you have a multiple cat household.
Yeah. See, I'm 65, but my cats perceive me as being even older. And they think that because in terms of age, that my memory isn't great. So they keep like this attitude sometimes is, we want to be fed. And it's like, but you got fed. No, you didn't feed us. No, something's wrong with your brain. You thought you fed. So they think, so, you know, they don't get fed more than three times a day. So, but they do that. They tend to do they do that? Mother doesn't remember. She's doing too many things. So let's just make believe we didn't eat. Well, cats own the house anyway. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not my house. I, you know, I live in their house. I rent from them, you know. Everything is theirs, you know. But that's, I guess that's one of the differences between cats and dogs. They know where they stand. anyway, so what, did you go to petbrosia.com? Is that the?
Yes, you start off at petbrosia.com and you go directly there and you fill out a pet profile. Immediately it will take you to a pet profile. And it only takes a couple minutes to fill out the profile and to go through the full process. But, yeah, you put in a profile. What we'll do is we'll instantly figure out a diet for your specific dog or cat. And then you order that. You order, and we will ship it with you. We'll ship it out the next day. With signing up for auto, it makes it very easy because you we'll calculate for you when you should need your next box, and with auto replenishment, it'll ship to you. You don't even have to think about it, so you won't have any of those I'm out of food moments.
Now, also, there's a trial offer.
Yeah, we do have trial offers many times. I'm not sure which trial offer you're seeing right now.
Oh, I'm not looking on there. I just remember, like, going to the website to look for something again, and then it came up on there.
Yeah, I think that's our $10 off trial offer.
Oh, okay.
I think that's that pop-up that you saw. $10 off.
Okay.
So yes, if you go to our site and it's your first time, we always would like to, to provide a safe way to try Petbrosia, knowing that it's your first time.
Now, I even have a question about. Let's say I have two cats and they're both from different, litters altogether, not even the same parents or anything, different ages. Would I have to get two different supplies. Am I correct? Or...
What I would do is it really depends on our suggestion is that you do that. You do have them specific to the individual cats. But what's really interesting is that they're close enough together. We can also figure out a blend that is sort of in between what they would get individually.
Oh, yeah, because, like, what will happen is, like, one will go after the other's food or something. You know that is, you know.
Right. And we have many,
I don't
many,
feel like
many
finishing my food
like
right now. I think I'll take a break, and then the other one goes, food, I'm going to go and eat it.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
And so what we suggest is either if you have one dog or cat that you're really concerned about, you try to gear a diet towards them. If they're close enough together in terms of age and weight and that type of thing or breed, then we could figure out what is a sort of an average formula blend for them.
Okay. Well, I think we got it all, didn't we?
And it's so easy to catch our customer service, too. You know, we've designed, so if anyone ever has any questions like that, you just click on our info@petbrosia.com comments box, and one of our customer service People will call you back or write back to you in the next day.
Who should we credit as the person who created it? The, you know,
Pepper,
we'll put this and this together or whatever. Who's the cook? Who's the executive chef?
The executive chef. Well, I mean, it's right. It's not just one person. Pepperoge as a concept is something that I came up with. And it's based on my experience in the category and spending a lot of time with pet parents. We have a nutritionist on staff. We have we've tapped into veterinarians in the formulation, engineers in the development of our algorithms. So, and of course, on a daily basis, we spend a lot of time in each package of Pepperoge. We're not manufacturing things in bulk like a big manufacturer would. You know, we really spend time on each bag, and it's the people at Pepperoge that are putting that extra bit of effort into each one and doing the types of bag by bag checks that provide you that extra confidence. So I really can't give that one person all the credit.
Oh, okay. Am I guessing? Are you the CEO?
I'm the CEO and founder.
When I got the email, they just said, Keith, call Keith. And I'm going, I don't know who Keith is, but I guess, you know.
I'm the CEO and founder of Pepperoge.
Oh, okay. I guess you are the best one to talk to about this. but you have the animals you have are dogs.
I have Mickey and Rosie. They are my
dogs.
My two dogs, yes.
Oh, okay.
Jack Russell Beagle mixes. We saved them. We rescued them from a kill shelter back in 2009, and they're unique. Despite coming from the same litter, they're just two unique personalities, and even their bodies are different. Rosie is much more the Jack Russell. She has high energy, very thin, and we found it hard to keep her fed that she really needed for her high level of activity. And then Mickey, on the other hand, had more of the beagle in him. He is more the hunter. He likes to eat, much more relaxed, and after he was done being a puppy, we started to see that he was putting on weight, and that was part of how we started Pepperoge. My wife being Italian, and also being trained as a veterinarian, was very concerned about one not eating too much and the other eating too little. And what I thought of, based on my experience in the pet food category, is that there's ways that could be helped and taken care of other than just the quantity of food, right? And
yeah.
So that's when I brought together my engineering background and my pet industry pet food industry background together to develop a product and service that could meet that need.
That's okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, now if you hear a noise, it's somebody just calling me that doesn't realize I'm on the radio. Don't worry about it. Huh, okay. So it's not like if I'm in happen to be in Cincinnati that I can come visit and say, hey, I have this, can I pick it up? It's always online.
We do have people that do that. We do have people that want to come to our headquarters at Pepperoge in Cincinnati And we say, hey, come on down.
Oh.
Bring your dog or cat with you.
Oh, that's really
cool.
So we
do that all the time. We have people who really want, you know, we're a small company. You know, most of the people that you will talk to through customer service, we get to know you on a personal basis. You know, and it's interesting, in the office we'll actually use people's first names, and we'll know who we're talking about because they've become pretty loyal customers. And we know all about their dog or their cat.
Yeah.
It's very unusual for a company like ours to be able to do that, but it has to do with the nature of us, of the relationships that we develop with the pet parents.
You know, when I was out in Cincinnati, I came across an ice cream company, Grater's.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Grater's ice cream?
Uh-huh. Yes,
so I came across that, and I liked it so much, I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's only in Ohio. And two, three years ago, I saw it in my store, and I went, this can't be the same one. And then I looked at it, and I said, it is. And then I got a hold of them, and then I realized where they put it wasn't the right place, wasn't the right type of store, because
uh-huh.
It's a more high-end product. And by
yes,
the time,
yes.
It took me about a year, and I got it. Now it's in a store called Fairway Markets, which is a high-end
uh-huh.
store, and now they're in all 14 of their stores. So in case you ever want to go public and you want them in places where people, you know, can actually buy it, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, let me know.
You'll help us out. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll help you out.
Yeah,
meantime,
I know I'm up here visiting my family up in upstate New York, and they like Grater's too. We had an unfortunate incident when I was transporting Grater's from Cincinnati to Rochester one year. And let's just say we had raspberry chip soup when I arrived in Rochester.
Right.
And I tell you what, that soup was gone so fast. It should have taken a video.
I know what you mean. I'm like, I'll settle for it. Anyway, it just, I know. I have, and I wanted to share with you what it is that I got, I guess, hooked on. I'm a chocoholic, but I'm a person that I won't, like, you just can't give me any kind of chocolate. It has to be specific. It has to be quality, et cetera, et cetera. And one
yeah.
of the things I've always found when having ice cream, whenever I have the chocolate chips in it, is I always get this taste of, like, coconut.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying, I don't understand. And what it is, I must be sensitive to palm oil.
Uh-huh.
That I'll taste it. And I went through this whole thing because I was, I had a called Ben and Jerry's to find out, like, what's the story. And they said that when they deal with chocolate chips, they have to put in palm oil so it won't be as hard. Otherwise, it'll break your teeth because it's frozen. And I said, okay, which didn't help me to understand. I mean, it didn't make enough to say why I don't want to taste that. But then when I was talking with Grater's, they said instead of using palm oil, they use a little soy oil. So what happens is I'm tasting the chocolate, and I'm not tasting any type thing.
Interesting. It is. It's definitely a rich chocolate that they use.
Yes.
And
that's
it's in
and,
huge
yeah.
chunks.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not, you'll take one, some of bites is just chocolate and no ice cream.
We understand. goodness. Yeah, I know. Yeah, they just came up with, yeah. Anyway, so Pet Brosia, it's the graders of pets. Okay, so again, so just let people know, go to petbrosia.com. And really,
and there's some trial offers up online, so that you can, as you go through the web, you'll have a pop-up of a trial offer. And we just launched our salmon version about a month ago, and that's a really nice product that's grain-free. We've added a little bit extra fiber in there for cats and a little bit of creatine for dogs. So that has some additional benefits. And that's been a hot seller, too. People have really, really started, not people, but dogs and cats are starting to gobble up our salmon formulas. And so,
okay. Well, we're going to get you. I'm going to take some shots of my cats eating the food so I can put it on my blog.
That'd be great. And we'd love that. So make sure you send us links to that so we can link
you. Oh, yeah. I definitely will. And I have to tell you, which is the other thing that I had found interesting, because I most of the time I was feeding them, you know, with wet food, and I'd have the bowl of water there, and it looks like they were not drinking any water, and I didn't understand why they're not drinking water. And then, you know, my vet said, don't worry about it, because there's enough liquid in the wet food. So I went, well, I hope they will be drinking the water. And I'm going, okay, I could see water is going down. I could see, yeah, okay, they're drinking the water. Thank goodness that they're drinking the water with the dry food. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of people who will use wet food instead of dry food just because of the water intake. And what I say is, well, just put a little water on top of the dry food.
Well, now that I know that, I'm going to try doing that because I think I once tried that. I guess it wasn't the best brand at all, I'm sure. I once tried that, and the cats that I had didn't like that it was, the dry food was wet. And I went,
yeah. Some don't.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah,
so I should experiment.
Yeah, and if they're drinking, most cats will self-regulate.
Okay. I will experiment to see if they do that.
Excellent.
Okay.
If there's any questions that anyone has, feel free to just send us an email by tapping on the contact box at petbrosia.com.
Okay. Fabulous. Thank you so much, Keith.
Thank you. It's been so
nice
talking.
Now it's made me hungry, and I got to go eat breakfast.
Excellent.
But not their food.
have a good weekend.
Yes, you too. Bye.
Bye now.
Oh, yes. So it's Pet Brosia. That's what, so you need to know that. Not Ambrosia, but Pet Brosia. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to end the show now. And who knows I will be, the next time I'm on the air, I'll tell you about a restaurant that I'm going to tonight. Let's just put it this way. Let's see. It has to do with magic and the cooking channel. So until next time, have a great day, evening, or let me just go find my music intro. Yes. Ta-ta, everybody.